Welcome back to Exodus. Today we jump into chapter 35 as the preparations for building finally get underway. Some time has passed since Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. Now, the people broke those commandments, and a lot went down as a result. But remember that Moses was also given directions to build the tabernacle. When will God's people get started on the tabernacle?
We're almost there, but first God gives them a reminder. In the coming chapters, there is going to be a lot of work, about 6 months of work on this particular project. So God first reminds them about Sabbath. Keep work in balance.
Verse 2. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. Before they do anything, God reminds them to enter into God's rest and honor the Sabbath. And there is a strict call to obedience. The penalty for violating the Sabbath is death. Why is this command so serious?
Remember that Sabbath is all about rest and holiness. Setting the day apart as holy will become a weekly reminder that they too are set apart as holy, and that the work on the tabernacle is holy work. Sabbath laws are mentioned 5 times here in Exodus. Disobedience to Sabbath will prove to be a serious issue in Israel. Fast forward through generations to come, and this command of 1 day in 7 and 1 year in 7 will be violated frequently and always with consequences. They won't just forget the Lord's day, they will forget his holiness.
Rewinding back here to Exodus 35, we finally get down to the business of building the tabernacle. Verse 4. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze." And Moses continues on with a list of the construction items needed.
Notice the phrase, "everyone who is willing." That's who is to bring an offering. And it's how giving to the Lord should be. No twisted arms, no giving guilt trips, just willing hearts giving to God.
That's a good reminder for those of us whom God entrusts with preaching. When it's time to pass the plate or collect the offering, remember that God loves a generous and willing heart. 2 Corinthians 9 reminds us that the giving should never be under compulsion. Here Moses asks only for those who are willing to give. Now, Israel also has a mandatory tithe, which will be used to provide for the Levites who will have no land, and also for the orphans, widows, and foreigners in need. Yet here for this project of building the tabernacle, Moses asks for a free will offering.
And what an honor to give and sacrifice to build this place for God to dwell among you. Now, today, you might wonder, can we do the same? Now, I don't just mean a church building fund for the church to dwell, as important as that is. I mean a place for the Lord to dwell. The temple today is our own hearts. And as we give away those material items that we treasure in our hearts, perhaps a little too much, we make more room in our hearts for God to dwell.
Verse 10, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. So Moses also asked for skilled artisans to come volunteer their time. They need craftsmen and craftswomen of all kinds, from carpenters to engravers, metalsmiths to incense and perfume makers, tailors to weavers.
And I love this example of offering God your skill, your talent. Every skill you have is a gift from God, so use it to give God glory. It is truly a beautiful thing when God-given talent and Spirit-filled ministry work together. And the people there at the base of Mount Sinai give a lot. The value of the necessary items is in the range of $100 million today. So you have to wonder, where does this nation of recently freed slaves come up with that kind of riches?
Back in chapter 11, just before the plague of the firstborn, God commands Moses to tell the Israelites to ask their neighbors for gold, silver, and costly items. And because the people of Egypt are favorably disposed towards Israel, they give abundantly. And so the Israelites leave Egypt as rich as conquerors. Not only does Egypt furnish him with the goods for building the tabernacle, no doubt the men and women are trained in the different trades as slaves. Coming out of Egypt are master craftsmen of all the various trades that the Egyptians required, yet now they're working for God.
Now there's something to think about. Even today, you may have skills that you learned in the service of the world, but you can turn them and use them for His glory. Moses lays out everything they need and all the skills they're looking for. And then he sends everyone away. Verse 20. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. So first, the people return to their tents, and then those that are led begin to come back to the meeting place and bring offerings.
By sending the people away, Moses allows for those who freely want to give the ability to go home and purpose in their own heart what they want and are able to give. There isn't pressure put on them to give. No one raises their hand and pledges to give in the heat of the moment or as a result of peer pressure.
Not only the lay people, but the leaders give as well. Verse 27, the leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense. And the result here is amazing. Chapter 36 will tell us, then Moses gave an order and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work.
The nation of Israel responds to the call for these items to the point where Moses finally has to tell them to stop giving. Imagine having a large gem or opal in your possession. Can you imagine what it's like to part with it? But you know, you think, I'm going to give this huge gem to the worship of God, and it's going to matter to Him. It's going to be used for generations to show how much God cares for His people. This gem is the most precious thing I've ever owned, but now I feel the weight of how much I'm treasured and valued by God. This stone represents me and our people. So many people have this moving experience that Moses has to tell them to stop. And that's a powerful moment for the nation.
The chapter closes with the commissioning of Bezalel and Oholiab. These two men have been chosen by the Lord to take on the leadership of building the tabernacle. They are gifted by the Holy Spirit with extraordinary talents and gifts, and they will lead the team of artisans. Take note of them. The rest of the book will focus on their work and their actions as they take the raw materials donated and through their God-given skill and artisanship, physically bring God's blueprints into reality. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and He has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And He has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others."
While Moses hears from the Lord that these two will lead the team, it's important for the people of Israel to know that God has chosen them. And so Moses places them before the people and lays out God's plan. Bezalel and Oholiab will lead the work, and it is up to the craftsmen working under them to do what the Lord has directed them to do.
It's important to remember that these leaders are first chosen and equipped by the Lord before being publicly ordained for service. God gave them the skills. God gave them that special ability to teach. I like that one. And God ordained them for this specific work. Too often in churches, men and women are lifted up to positions of authority simply because of their skill, without a clear calling from God. Raising up leaders without God's guidance never ends well. Yet when God ordains a leader and the people agree, then amazing work will follow.
Well, that's it for Exodus 35. Join us next time as we begin to see the construction of the tabernacle finally begin.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.